Dominov, K-Chung Radio's The Talking Show.
Hey.
I'm Steve Cato.
And I'm Nicholas Miller.
And we are just mopping up after a heavy, heavy Too True set.
Yeah, too real.
Too real, too true. So friendly.
Uniqlo.
It's outrageous here.
Yeah. I even saw Steve tapping his foot.
I tapped my, you know, and I'm known for not responding very well to music.
Yeah.
Music being a big problem in my life over the years. Absolutely.
Do you remember when the Talking Show took that trip to the Symphony Hall downtown and saw that German band Kraftwerk?
Yeah, I remember seeing Kraftwerk. Yeah. That was wonderful.
And they had that projection of them as wireframes, wireframe renderings behind them, and it zoomed in on their feet, and their feet were just tapping. The yeah. wireframe foot was tapping. I thought of that when I saw you tapping to that Too True set.
My tapping was actually very influenced by Kraftwerk.
Ah, okay.
It was a
Teutonic tap.
It was a very deliberate attempt on my part to mimic what I saw in that wireframe rendering as possibly the ultimate tap.
Yeah. I've been practicing in front of the mirror, but to no avail.
It's I'm thrilled to hear you say that it reminded you of them. It is indeed a hard tap to master.
God, you nailed it, Steve.
It is. Thank you.
You really nailed
thank
it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Speaking somewhat of Kraftwerk and of, I don't know.
Awfully cold places.
Life in the closet. Or life out of the closet, vocally out of the closet, after a certain amount of time in the closet, I guess. Our guest in the studio tonight is, this is another one of those times when we have an object as a guest in the studio. We've done it before. We've done it with Robert Ashley's Perfect Lives, Private Parts of the Record.
Right.
The first and last parts of Perfect Lives rendered in a different instrumentation group.
Oh, I have an interesting note on that.
Oh, say.
Former Talking Show guest, the director of the Sealed Library, contacted me today. And he was very confused, YouTubing Robert Ashley. He thought that the tabla version was an 80s, or sorry, early 90s hip-hop remix.
Interesting.
Yeah, he was very upset until I
told him that was like the OG version.
Yeah, and then he was excited.
It's the very first. Yeah,
I think he thought it was the Club Master Kids or whatever that group was.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he was upset.
Oh, the poor Sealed Library. It just to be personal, it was the tabla version that really attracted me in the first place.
It's the one that I still listen to the most.
of those versions. I also listen to Improvement a lot lately.
Yeah. I actually looked at Discogs today to try and buy the vinyl recording, the object that you brought in.
Yeah.
But it fetches high prices after Bob's death.
I can imagine. I'm trying to find that ideal moment when I can purchase a David Berman record of the same vintage without, because I feel like the costs are already punitive. Like the Berman records were not the big sellers that the Robert Ashley records were for Lovely.
Right.
So they were produced in smaller amounts. And then I was trying to figure out what, whether 60 euros was really way too much or, and I feel like that is too much for On the Other Ocean, even though I think it's a wonderful recording.
There was a copy of Private Parts that was $150.
Jesus Christ.
But it had a very rare gray cover.
I have the gray cover.
You have the gray cover?
How rare is that?
I guess much more rare than the yellow cover.
I don't have the yellow cover.
Yellow cover is much more common.
Holy moly.
Sounds like retirement.
I was unclear about what the difference in the pressings of Perfect Lives, Private Parts rather, were. And one of the reasons why, as a deep Robert Ashley fan, I was determined to not let my interest in Robert Ashley's music descend into sort of comic book collector style mylar sleeve
good luck
wankiness. So I don't know anything about the pressing history. I didn't realize I had a rarer copy.
Yeah, according to the two that are on Discogs right now, yours is much more rare than the yellow one.
Dang,
way to go.
I also have a copy of the yellow one.
Oh well,
But I mean, like, I saw the other one and I was like, probably I should get this one too. I think I saw the yellow one at Amiibo.
In Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
How recently?
4 years ago.
Okay, fair enough. So you'd be hard pressed to find it now.
I mean, I keep hoping for that Barman record. I found also quite rare, although I'm sure not as collectible, a copy of Bob's The Bar.
Oh yeah, I see the
that
blue,
LP, and, blue and blue red,
and red and white cover. Yeah, I see that much more common. That's a dollar bin one.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Because I feel like that's a very obscure recording.
Yeah, maybe they pressed a bunch or something. I don't know. I know a number of people have gotten them for just a couple bucks.
I also have Music Word Fire.
That I've never seen.
The disco record.
Yeah, no, I know what it is, but I've never seen it.
It is. I imagine that must be quite valuable. Yeah, I imagine that must be valuable. Ladies and gentlemen of Los Angeles and the world via podcasting, Steve Cato has a few valuable records. I won't tell you where I live or where those records are stored, in case you are that rabid Robert Ashley discography completist who has just decided to not participate in Discogs or eBay.
Matt Clifford Green.
Matt Clifford Green is doing fine without the Robert Ashley discography. If I say so myself, as a good friend of Matt Clifford Green's. Our object today in the studio is, this is a new one. Nicholas and I have near constant debates about music, its role, its value, why and for whom music. And those have typically been the kinds of objects we've brought into the studio. And today we're bringing in an actual projection. We're bringing in a film. And normally this is very complicated for the talking show and for radio, because of course you can't see the pictures. But in this case, I think you can actually do a good approximation of the pictures in question. Tonight, the movie we're showing is Derek Jarman's Blue. His 1993 film about living with AIDS at the sort of nexus of the Bosnian-Herzegovinian sort of civil war / ethnic conflict. And so that is the object we have right now, and we're going to project the big blue square on the screen here at Kaechung in the private cinema for the studio audience. Jarman died, I think, in 1994, only like a couple months after this film was released. So of course he's not here with us. And also featured in this film are actually the voices of Tilda Swinton and someone else, I think. But Tilda Swinton was in a lot of Jarman movies back in the day.
Yikes.
The great British actress Tilda Swinton here in an earlier appearance. So here we have Derek Jarman's Blue on Kaechung Radio, Los Angeles' only
micro-broadcasting radio station. Everyone, gather your attention. Here we have Blue by Derek Jarman.
Thank you.
You say to the boy, open your eyes. When he opens his eyes and sees the light, you make him cry out, saying, O blue, come forth. O blue, arise. O blue, ascend. O blue, come in. I'm sitting with some friends in this cafe, drinking coffee, served by young refugees from Bosnia. The war rages across the newspapers and through the ruined streets of Sarajevo. Tanya said, your clothes are on back to front and inside out. Well, since there are only two of us here, I took them off and put them right then and there. I'm always here before the doors open. What need of so much news from abroad, while all that concerns either life or death is all transacting and at work within me? I step off the curb and a cyclist nearly knocks me down.
Look where the fuck you're going!
Flying in from the dark, he nearly parted my hair. I step into a blue funk.
The doctor in St. Bartholomew's Hospital thought he could detect lesions in my retina. The pupils dilated with belladonna. The torch shone into them with a terrible, blinding light. Look left. Look down. Look up. Look right. Blue flashes in my eyes. Blue bottle buzzing. Lazy day. Sky blue butterfly sways on a cornflower, lost in the warmth of the blue heat haze. Singing the blue, quiet and slowly. Blue of my heart, blue of my dreams. Slow blue love of Delphinium day.
Love in which man bathes. It is the terrestrial paradise. Blue.
I'm walking along the beach in a howling gale. Another year is passing. In the roaring waters, I hear the voices of dead friends. Love is life that lasts forever. My heart's memory turns to you. David. Howard. Graham. Terry.
What if this present were the world's last night? In the setting sun, your love fades, dies in the moonlight, fails to rise, thrice denied by cockcrow in the dawn's first light. Look down.
Down.
Look left. Look up.
Up.
Look right. The camera flash. Atomic bright. Photos the CMV. The green moon. And the world turns magenta. My retina is a distant planet. A red Mars from a boy's own comic. With yellow infection bubbling at the corner. I said, this looks like a planet. The doctor says. Oh, I think it looks like a pizza.
The worst of the illness is the uncertainty. I've played this scenario back and forth each hour of the day for the last 6 years. Transcends the solemn geography of human limits.
Chased this story across the page.
tossed this way and that in the storm. Sensibility is blue. I consecrate myself to find its most perfect expression.
I shall not win the battle against the virus, in spite of the slogans like living with AIDS. The virus was appropriated by the well, so we have to live with AIDS while they spread the quilt for the moths of Ithaca across the wine dark sea. Awareness is heightened by this, but something else is lost. A sense of reality drowned in theater. Thinking blind. Becoming blind. In the hospital, it is as quiet as a tomb. The nurse fights to find a vein in my right arm. We give up after 5 attempts. Would you faint if someone stuck a needle into your arm? I've got used to it, but I still shut my eyes.
The Gautama Buddha instructs me to walk away from illness. But he wasn't attached to a drip.
Go away from me.
resign myself to fate. Blind fate. The grip stings. A lump swells up in my arm. Out comes the grip. An electric shock sparks up my arm. How can I walk away with a drip attached to me? How am I going to walk away from this? Photo in the newspaper this morning of refugees leaving Bosnia. They look out of time. Peasant women with scarves and black dresses stepped from the pages on older Europe. One of them has lost her three children.
Lightning flickers through the hospital window. At the door, an elderly woman stands waiting for the rain to clear. I ask her if I can give her a lift. I've hailed a taxi. Can you take me to Hope and Tube? On the way, she breaks down in tears. She's come from Edinburgh. Her son is in the ward. He has meningitis. Lost the use of his legs. I'm helpless. As the tears flow, I can't see her. Just the sound of her sobbing. Stirring broad. Without looking out of the window, one can see the way of heaven. The further one goes, the less one knows.
Pandemonium of image, I present you with the universal blue. Blue, an open door to soul, an infinite possibility becoming tangible. Here I am again in the waiting room. Hell on earth is a waiting room. Here you know you are not in control of yourself. Waiting for your name to be called.
712213.
Here you have no name. Confidentiality is nameless. Where is 666? Am I sitting opposite him, her? Maybe 666 is the demented woman switching the channels on the TV. What do I see past the gates of conscience? Activists invading Sunday Mass in the cathedral. An epic Tsar Ivan denouncing the Patriarch of Moscow. A moon-faced boy who spits and repeatedly crosses himself. As he genuflects, will the pearly gates slam shut in the faces of the devout? The demented woman is discussing needles. There's always a discussion of needles here. She has a line put into her neck. Across the blue mountain.
Polo stops and sits on a lapis throne by the river Oxus, while he is ministered to by the descendants of Alexander the Great. The caravan approaches, blue canvases fluttering in the wind. Blue people from over the sea, ultramarine, have come to collect the lapis with its flecks. The city of Aqua Vitae is protected by a labyrinth built from crystals and mirrors, which in the sunlight cause terrible blindness. The mirrors reflect each of your betrayals, magnify them, and drive you into madness. Blue walks into the labyrinth. Absolute silence is demanded of all its visitors, so their presence does not disturb the poets who are directing the excavations. Digging can only proceed on the calmest of days, as rain and wind destroy the finds. The archaeology of sound has only just been perfected, and the systematic cataloguing of words has until recently been undertaken in a haphazard way. Blue watched as a word or phrase materialized in scintillating sparks, a poetry of fire which cast everything into darkness with the brightness of its reflections.
As a teenager, I used to work for the Royal National Institute for the Blind on their Christmas appeal for radios. With dear Miss Punch, 70 years old, who used to arrive each morning on her Harley Davidson. She kept us on our toes. Her job as a gardener gave her time to spare in January. Miss Punch Leatherwoman was the first out dyke I ever met. Closeted and frightened by my sexuality, she was my hope. Climb on, let's go for a ride. She looked like Edith Piaf, the sparrow, and wore a cockeyed beret at a saucy angle. She bossed all the other old girls who came back year after year for her company. In the paper today, 3/4 of the AIDS organizations are not providing safer sex information. One district said they had no queers in their community, but you might try District X. They have a theater.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
My sight seems to have closed in. The hospital is even quieter this morning. Hushed. I have a sinking feeling in my stomach. I feel defeated. My mind bright as a button, but my body falling apart. A naked light bulb in a dark and ruined room. There's death in the air here, but we're not talking about it. I know the silence might be broken by distraught visitors screaming, "Help, sister, help, nurse," followed by the sound of feet rushing along the corridor. Then silence.
Gardens is the shrine to Rita, where all at the end of the line call. Rita is the saint of the lost cause, the saint of all who are at their wits' end, who are hedged in and trapped by the facts of the world. These facts, detached from cause, trap the blue-eyed boy in a system of unreality. Would all these blurred facts that deceive dissolve in his last breath? For accustomed to believing in image, an absolute idea of value, his world had forgotten the command of essence, thou shalt not create unto thyself any graven image. Although you know the task is to fill the empty page. From the bottom of your heart, pray to be released from image.
The image is a prison of the soul. Your heredity, your education, your vices and aspirations, your qualities, your psychological world. I've walked behind the sky.
For what are you seeking?
The fathomless blue of bliss.
Astronaut of the void, leave the comfortable house that imprisons you with reassurance. Remember, to be going and to have are not eternal. Fight the fear that engenders the beginning, the middle, and the end. For blue, there are no boundaries or solutions. Time is what keeps the light from reaching us.
How did my friends cross the Cobalt River? With what did they pay the ferryman? As they set out for the Indigo Shore, under this jet-black sky, some died on their feet with a backward glance. Did they see death with the hellhounds pulling a dark chariot, bruised blue-black, growing dark in the absence of light? Can they hear the blast of trumpets?
David ran home, panicked, on the train from Waterloo, brought back exhausted and unconscious to die that night. Terry mumbled incoherently into his incontinent tears. Others faded like flowers, cut by the scythe of the blue-bearded reaper, parched as the waters of life receded. Howard turned slowly to stone, petrified day by day, his mind imprisoned in a concrete fortress, until all we could hear were his groans on the telephone, circling the globe. Mad Vincent sits on his yellow chair, clasping his knees to his chest. Bananas. Sunflowers wilt in the empty pot. Bone dry, skeletal. The black seeds picked into the staring face of a Halloween pumpkin. He is unaware of Blue standing in the corner. Female.
fevered eyes glared at the jaundiced corn, core of the jet-black crows spiraling in the yellow. The lemon goblin stares from the unwanted canvases thrown in the corner. Sourpuss suicide screams with evil, clasping cowardly yellow belly, slit-eyed. Fights diseased yellow belly, whose fetid breath scorches the trees yellow with ague. Betrayal is the oxygen of his devilry. He'll stab you in the back. Yellow belly places a jaundiced kiss in the air. A stink of pus blinds blue's eyes. Evil swims in the yellow bile. Yellow belly's snake eyes poison. It crawls over Eve's rotting apple, wasp-like. Quick as a flash, he stings Blue in the mouth. His hellish legions buzz and chuckle in the mustard gas. They'll piss all over you. Shuffle. Nicotine-stained fangs bared. Blue transformed into an insecticutor. His blue aura frying the foes.
Very blue.
Very blue, yeah.
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 Yeah. Not yellow or gray.
No, very blue.
Blue.
I hope some of you listeners looked at like a blue lamp or a card during this last moment, you know, just to get in the proper mood for this. We are going to have to return to Derek Jarman's Blue in a forthcoming episode of The Talking Show.
Right, yeah. This one was cut short due to fatigue on the part of the station manager.
Well, not to just be that blamey. I mean, we only have an hour.
Yeah, I know.
Another thing worth considering. Well, one of the reasons why I think I invited this film to be on our show today is one of the things I've been thinking about, and we can just think about this over the next week until we meet again, is just the weird cost of the AIDS crisis on the arts community. Like, I remember watching a, I wish I could remember whose documentary this was. It was about, she's a female comedian who initially flourished in the late 70s.
Hmm.
And I want to say Fran Drescher, but it's not Fran Drescher because she's, the person I'm talking about is a like very sort of dykey lesbian. But she was just like the entire audience for contemporary dance in New York basically died.
Yeah.
And, you know, just thinking about how different that situation was compared to the situation we encounter now, like how in many ways we live in a post AIDS crisis.
Right.
Arts world where, you know, entire institutions vanished. Yeah, and the entire support structures for those institutions, etc. You know, so then therefore they changed.
I remember seeing a Julie Ault talk where she talked about making art in New York in the 80s and how present that was for everyone.
Right, I mean, right.
Despite whether or not you're immediately affected, there was a bunch of... I just imagine, you know, a lot of the apartment gallery shows were about these kinds of topics and whatnot. Whereas now it feels a bit more atomized. You know, I don't, in going out to see a bunch of shows any given weekend, I don't imagine there to be any common thread between any of it.
Right. And I think also one of the things that I don't think was touched on, I think I went to the same Julie Ault talk as you. I might not have. But another thing that she touched on pursuant to that as well is that had an economic effect that led to the accelerated gentrification of New York, for example. Because a lot of rent-controlled apartments would become available.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, you know, entire aspects of neighborhoods had a certain character because a certain community lived there over a certain period of time.
Right.
Economically, that transformed as well. So it's... I And Derek Jarman's part of an entirely different situation, an entirely different universe in England, mm-hmm. That encountered similar challenges, but that was constructed in different ways. But I think, like, you know, Derek Jarman dies basically just as the YBAs rise to prominence in the UK. So in a way, it seems almost like a sort of laboratory, accelerated laboratory experiment version of a world maybe we've inherited here in America more recently. Anyway, something we're thinking about based on the life of Derek Jarman, if not you know, directly relevant to the film. The film has its whole own internal drama that we, you know, should talk about maybe next week.
Right.
Once we've gotten through the whole...
When we have the object projection. Back.
Yeah, when the object returns in the weeks to come.
Right, ever present.
You could watch it tomorrow.
Or you could keep watching tonight.
We left off at 41 minutes and 36 seconds.
Anyhow, we're not going to keep watching. We're going to go to bed.
Good night, everyone.
Sleep tight.
AIDS was really horrible and remains horrible, but the early part was real bad.